Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jordan. Today, we're diving into Gilead Sciences' first quarter 2026 results. And wow, what a quarter this was for the biotech giant. Before we jump in, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Jordan, Gilead came out swinging with some pretty impressive numbers, didn't they?
Absolutely, Alex. Let's start with the headline numbers because they're quite strong. Total product sales hit $6.9 billion, up 5% year over year. But here's the kicker. If you exclude their COVID drug Veklury, their base business grew 8% to $6.8 billion. That's solid growth for a company Gilead's size.
And they're not just talking the talk, they're raising guidance across the board. What stood out to you most about their updated outlook?
The HIV business is absolutely on fire. They raised their HIV growth expectations from 6% to 8% for the full year. And get this, their PrEP drug, Yes2Go, which prevents HIV, is now expected to hit $1 billion in sales. That would make it a blockbuster drug in just its first full year on the market.
That's remarkable. Let's break down what's driving this HIV success, because it seems like Gilead is firing on all cylinders here.
It really is a multi-pronged success story. Their flagship HIV treatment, Biktarvy, continues to dominate with over 52% market share in the U.S. That's a drug pulling in $3.4 billion in the quarter alone. But the real star is Yes2Go, their twice-yearly injectable HIV prevention drug. Sales jumped 72% just from the previous quarter to $166 million.
And during the Q&A, management seemed pretty confident about Yes2Go's trajectory. What are they seeing that makes them so optimistic?
Great question. Johanna Mercier, their commercial chief, mentioned some really encouraging metrics. They now have 95% insurance coverage, with 95% of those having zero copay for patients. They're seeing strong uptake from both people switching from other drugs and completely new users. And perhaps most importantly, the persistency, meaning people coming back for their second injection, is looking really good.
Now, Gilead wasn't just focused on HIV this quarter. They made some major acquisition moves. Can you walk us through what they're buying and why?
This is where it gets really interesting from a strategic perspective. They closed three major deals. Arcelix for their cancer cell therapy and anito-cel. They're buying Tubulis for their antibody drug conjugate technology and oral medicines for autoimmune treatments. The total upfront cost? About $11.5 billion.
That's a lot of cash. How are investors supposed to think about these deals?
Well, it's definitely impacting their near-term earnings. They're actually projecting a loss per share for 2026 because of these upfront costs. But management seemed confident these are strategic investments for the long term. The Arcelix deal brings them anito-cel, which they believe could be best in class for multiple myeloma. And Tubulis gives them next-generation cancer drug technology that goes beyond their current Trodelvy franchise.
Speaking of Trodelvy, how's their existing oncology business performing?
Trodelvy is growing nicely, up 37% year over year to $402 million. They're expecting regulatory decisions this year that could expand its use to first-line breast cancer treatment, which would be a significant market expansion. The NCCN medical guidelines have already given it their top recommendation, so physicians are already starting to use it more broadly.
One thing that caught my attention in the Q&A was a question about their twice-yearly HIV prevention pipeline. This could be a game changer, right?
Absolutely. They're developing a once-yearly version of lenacapavir for HIV prevention. They've completed enrollment in their phase 3 trial and expect approval by 2028. If successful, imagine one shot per year to prevent HIV. That could be transformational for public health, especially in underserved communities.
Let's talk numbers for a moment. How is Gilead balancing all this investment with returns to shareholders?
That's a great point. Despite all these acquisitions, they still returned over 60% of their free cash flow to shareholders through dividends and buybacks. about $1.4 billion in the quarter. CFO Andy Dickinson emphasized they're maintaining financial discipline while making these strategic investments.
During the earnings call, there seemed to be a lot of confidence about their pipeline. What should investors be watching for in the coming quarters?
There are several key catalysts coming up. In August, they expect FDA approval for Biclen, a new once-daily HIV treatment. In December, they're expecting approval for anito-cel in multiple myeloma. Plus, they have multiple phase 3 trial readouts expected in the second half of the year across HIV, cancer, and liver disease programs.
One analyst asked about margins given all this acquisition activity. What's the outlook there?
Management emphasized they can absorb the incremental costs from these deals while maintaining strong margins. They delivered a 47% operating margin this quarter and expect the revenue growth to essentially offset the additional expenses on an earnings per share basis, excluding those big upfront acquisition costs.
So putting this all together, what's your take on where Gilead stands after this quarter?
I think this quarter really showcases Gilead's evolution. They're not just an HIV company anymore. They're building a diversified portfolio across HIV, oncology, and liver disease, with potential expansion into autoimmune conditions. The HIV business remains a cash cow that's funding innovation in other areas. Yes, Tugo's success shows they can still innovate in their core HIV business, while these acquisitions position them for growth in new therapeutic areas.
Any red flags investors should be aware of?
The main concern is execution risk. They're integrating three major acquisitions simultaneously while launching multiple new products. Management acknowledged they're less likely to pursue more large acquisitions this year while they focus on integration. Also, their cell therapy business was down 12% year over year, showing that not every franchise is growing.
Looking ahead, what's your sense of the investment thesis for Gilead?
Gilead seems to be positioning itself as a growth company again after years of being seen as a value play. The HIV business provides a stable foundation with limited patent cliffs until 2036, while these acquisitions could drive the next wave of growth. The key will be successful execution of these new product launches and pipeline development.
Before we wrap up, Jordan, any final thoughts for our listeners?
This feels like an inflection point for Gilead. They're making bold moves to reinvent themselves beyond just HIV, while their core business is actually accelerating. The next few quarters will be crucial as we see if these big bets pay off. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's a wrap on Gilead's first quarter 2026 earnings. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch, and we'll catch you next time for another AI-powered earnings breakdown. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.